podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So apparently Paulie did play the sounder, and we did get a winner to the Padres tickets.
Correct.
Who was our winner, Paulie?
Dylan.
Dylan, congratulations. You're going to go see the Padres Angels on Wednesday, May 14th, with the first 40,000 fans in attendance receiving a free reversible retro bucket hat. Oh. You can get your tickets at padres.com/tickets. That's the Angels and Mariners on the next homestand for your San Diego Padres after they finish their 9-game road trip this week. Still have to go to New York and Colorado.
Oof, man. Manny even said after the game yesterday that they don't play well in Colorado, and that's how it's so important to get these wins in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, man, and everybody on the round table last week just, we're not worried. I'm like, Paul, you have that ready in case we lose 2 or 3 to the Rockies.
Oh, yeah.
You got to roast everybody on the round table. It's just playing with fire. It's kind of like walking around without a phone case.
You did when the Rockies came to Petco Park a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but we're playing in Colorado, a literal house of horrors.
I mean, they're more of like a, they're not quite a 500 team, but they at least have a few wins at home this year.
Yeah.
You can't ever expect a sweep on the road. Congratulations for the Padres for getting that sweep in Pittsburgh. They'll certainly be favored in all three of those games.
Yes. Yeah.
Against the Rockies. Doesn't mean you're going to win all of them, but you should win that series.
Yeah, you absolutely should.
And if you do that, then all you have to do is take one against the Yankees to get a 6-3 road trip, which would be fantastic. Now you get greedy, though, and you think, 7-2, a possibility.
How about a 9-0 road trip,
hey,
Benjamin? Look
there
at
you
that.
Go.
Love
aim
it.
High.
I was just going back and listening to the end of the last yeah. segment. It was about 30 seconds between me playing the sounder. It was just under 30 seconds where then Ben goes, and Paulie still hadn't played that sounder.
Yeah, he did. He played it. He snuck it in there.
We were talking about Don, so I heard Don. I didn't put 2 and 2 together. Paulie's very tricky sometimes.
He is.
He was at his heaviest then, he said.
Yeah.
So he's definitely dialed it in a little bit in seeding years.
Yeah, you would have to, and I ignore it because I,
good
for the audience.
Basketball playoffs, the Rindle report still to come as well, and I don't think Paulie's played the sounder to give away the Padres tickets.
Literally just played.
Oh, he did. I missed it on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, fine. All right, fine. He says.
All right, fine.
I will acknowledge that when I missed it. I definitely missed it.
All right, fine. It's the only proper way to respond.
Do have some news for you. Congratulations to Leo Dallas DeVries, who was just named the Midwest League Player of the Month for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Pretty good start to his season for the 18-year-old playing against opponents who are 2, 3, 4, 5 years older than he is in high single-A ball. Had a really good month. Did have his 8th error yesterday. I guess he's struggled a little bit with consistency in the field, but remember,
he has also made some really spectacular plays as well.
Remember, he's 18 years old.
18 years old. Yeah. It's funny. I noticed that the Yankees, who the Padres will be taking on, now, Benny, they promoted their shortstop, George Lombard Jr. It's their top prospect. He got promoted to Double-A Somerset.
He's a little bit older than DeVries.
Yeah, he's 19 years old. He was hitting .329. One homer, 13 RBI, 11 stolen bases, and a real, real big talent for them. So they're promoting him to the upper minors. And, again, like he's what, a year older? I mean, he looks like he's 14 years old, George Lombard Jr. He really does. Leo looks like he looks like a big leaguer already at 18. It's crazy.
Yeah, Lombard's hitting for an insane average, but yeah. Leo actually has a better slugging percentage with more power at 18, which is, that's nuts. Usually that's what is the last thing to develop is the power, and DeVries is really hitting it as hard or harder than anybody else at that level already at age 18.
Yeah, it's nuts. So fast track for the Yankees' number one prospect. Will we soon see that for Leo Dallas DeVries? There's no rush. There's literally no rush to do it. And again, as they always tell us, they'll tell us when they're ready for the next step. So interested to see. But you mentioned last week, I think it was the play-by-play guy or somebody that works in the organization was like, better come see him while you can. He may not be here much longer.
It's definitely possible they're thinking about aggressively promoting him just to give him a look at maybe some tougher pitching.
Yeah.
See how he responds. Yankees, by the way, lost their second straight series. Yesterday, the Tampa Bay Rays took 2 out of 3 with a 7-5 win.
That makes me feel better because they swept us.
The Rays swept
us.
And then they got swept by Kansas City, I think. And then they took two out of three from the Yankees. So figure out the Rays. They don't make a lot of sense. The Red Sox, meanwhile, tough one yesterday. Not only did they lose to the Twins 5-4, their ace pitcher, Garrett Crochet, took a line drive right off his nose.
Like right off the tip.
Yeah.
Like he turned his face and you see it just
grazed
his nose.
Like centimeters away from a trip to the hospital.
Still hit his nose. Like, make no mistake, it hit him in the nose. It just didn't hit him flush in the nose, and it just hit and skirted on by.
Now, he
stayed in the game.
He was
didn't
okay.
He?
Oh, stayed in the game. The really bad news for the Red Sox is that they're losing Tristan Cassis for the season.
Patellar
tendon. Yeah, it's surgery.
I think he tore his patella. Ugh.
So that's a big blow to the Red Sox, who have kind of gotten off to a mediocre start.
That's my World Series pick.
Yeah.
So
well, cool. My World Series Same. Pick has been even worse.
The Orioles, one of the worst teams.
The Orioles lost to the Royals 11-6 yesterday. A Royals team that had the fewest home runs in all of baseball hit 7 of them yesterday against the Orioles, who just have not had the pitching. I mean, you knew that it'd be tough to replace Corbin Burns, but they have not done anything. Pitching-wise, they've been a disaster so far this season. The Orioles, my World Series pick.
Yeah, we are on
fire.
Been
even worse than
right
your
now.
World Series pick. Guardians 5-4 with the Blue Jays. They took 2 of 3 in that series. Guess who has won 4 straight series? Your Sacramento, your Athletics organization. They beat the Marlins 3-2 and are kind of hanging right there. Not in first place, but certainly with a winning record there. And in a weak American League, there are playoff spots to be had.
There are opportunities in the American League like crazy, Benjamin.
I mean, you'd rather be the A's at 3 games above 500 than like the Reds at about the same place in the National League. Because in the National League, it looks like a mountain to climb. I mean, you have to hang, first of all,
yeah,
with
you
the
hang,
Braves
and
the Diamondbacks. And then you got to pass someone like the Padres or the Giants or the Phillies just to get into a playoff spot. And no such struggles in the American League where, you know, literally, you get into mid-80s in wins, and you got a really good shot at making the playoffs this year. Now, things change. We said that in the National League last year, and it turned out you needed to get to 89, and that even wasn't enough for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who got aced out with 89 wins. So it can change, but right now, it's definitely looks like there's playoff spots available. Don't think the White Sox are going to get one, but they did get a rare series win, taking 2 of 3 from the Astros with a 5-4 seven-inning win. Raining in the south side. Rangers beat the Mariners 8-1. Tigers over the Angels 13-1. 11 runs batted in combined for Kerry Carpenter and Trey Sweeney in
11.
That one. Yeah, the two of them, 6-5. In the National League, Nationals over the Reds 4-1. Nats take that series. Cardinals swept a doubleheader from the Mets 6-5 and 5-4. They had lost the first 5 games of the season series. So these are the last 2 games against the Mets all year. They won them both. Brewers shut out the Cubs 4-0 to avoid the sweep. And we talked about the NL West earlier with the D-backs beating the Phillies in extra innings and the Giants taking 3 of 4 from the Rockies. They dropped that first game, but came back and won the last 3 against Colorado. Willy Adames starting to heat up now in May. Had 2 home runs, his 3rd and 4th of the season. Had that one against the Padres when the Padres swept them last week. But the Giants continuing to play pretty good baseball as they go forward.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
And the Braves beat the Dodgers 4-3. They got 2 home runs from Austin Riley off Dustin May and then held on by the skin of their teeth to avoid a season series sweep. The Dodgers had won the first 5, and the Braves took the last one to just take 1 out of the 6.
And I think L.A. goes back to play Miami now. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah,
more Marlins. Padres going to face the Yankees. Now, it all evens out in the end.
It does. It evens out in the end, but you want to keep that, you know, you want to keep that train rolling. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, losing 4 games in a row, kind of a bummer. You went 5 straight, and you look up, and you go, oh, okay, they're continuing to dominate teams as well, and now they get the Marlins again for another 3.
I get the sense, though, that, I don't know, that any team that faces the Dodgers, whether it's, you know, a team with a winning record, whether it's the Mets or the Phillies or the Padres, they always feel like you've got to step up your game to face the Dodgers,
sure.
Whereas the Dodgers are favored in every single game they play.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's not usual for a baseball team to be favored. Have they been an underdog at all this year? You tend to look at the odds.
They may have been in one of those bullpen games or something like that. But again, I mean, I think they've employed a couple of bullpen games. I think they've both gone pretty well. Again, they've got good arms still left on that team. But what's doing it for them is their offense. You know, their offense is Mookie starting to heat up. Tommy Edmund did go down. He's going to be out for at least.
I mean, Michael Conforto has not done anything for them since he signed. Kike has had a bad season. Had a few homers early.
Andy Páez has turned into one of the best players in baseball out of nowhere.
They called up Hyesung Kim.
Yep.
From the minors yesterday. He pinch ran in the game against the Braves. But, you know, it's not like they've gotten a ton. Max Muncy is starting to heat up a little bit, but his slug is still under 300.
It's crazy.
For the season. It's really been all about the top four guys. Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, and Teoscar Hernandez. And it's actually Freddie Freeman who's had the best start of all of them.
See this number against right-handed pitching? He's betting 448 against right-handers over the last 2 weeks. 448. That's insane. So, yeah, I mean, you can weather a lot of storms when you have three MVPs at the top. And Teoscar Hernandez is a stud.
It blows my mind, since it was the Braves and the Dodgers yesterday. It blows my mind that the Braves let Freddie Freeman walk.
It's staggering.
He wanted to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it was a big chunk of change, but I mean, did they think that he wasn't going to keep being Freddie Freeman? Because he's been Freddie Freeman plus since going to the Dodgers. It has to be a huge regret in Atlanta.
The guy wept. He wept when you let him go, and
like multiple times.
he is one of those guys where it's like, well, it's like Kyle Tucker from the Astros. What are you thinking? Like, what are you? It's sometimes these guys want. They think they're the smartest guy in the room, and it's like,
oh, it's Freddie. Like 34? So he was. So, like, picture Fernando at 31, 32.
He's
like, eh.
35 now. I believe 36 later this season.
Okay.
And he was there for his whole career.
Yeah, you developed him.
Imagine 10 years of Fernando and then still not on the back nine quite yet.
No, not even close.
Obviously. And just saying, hey, you know what? We love you, but we just can't afford you anymore.
Like, no, I don't even think it was a Ford. It was like, you don't deserve what you're asking for.
Thanks for the ring.
And they can absolutely afford
it. They just want it, right?
Yeah.
Now, that makes it a lot easier, I guess.
It does.
But, I mean, and Matt Olson's been a decent replacement, but they signed him for $168 million.
Right.
It's not like they just got a free. It's not like they had a young prospect who
he's coming up,
needed to play, and was going to be absolutely cheap. And we love you, Freddie, but we got this guy. No, they had to go out and spend $168 million on his replacement, who's been good, but he hasn't been Freddie Freeman good.
It's crazy to me.
It is one of the biggest mysteries.
Stupid ass Red Sox letting Mookie Betts go for a bag of balls.
Why don't they let him go to the Dodgers?
I know.
Too?
It's just insane to me. It's insane to me. I mean, those are good moves by them. And Freddie Freeman won them a World Series. Mookie Betts has helped them win a World Series.
Letting Teoscar Hernandez go to the Dodgers, too.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
They have done well. I mean, again, when you sign so many free agents, it's going to look like you did well. Like, Conforto has not done anything for them at all. You know, they haven't hit on everybody, but they sign enough that it looks like their track record is outstanding.
For sure.
On free agents.
For sure.
Ohtani's been okay for them.
Yeah, he's not pretty good. I saw some Dodger blog tweeting, hey, should we get Shohei back on the mound sooner than later? And I said, absolutely.
That's a great idea.
I trust your pitching staff implicitly. So, yes, let's get him back on the hill sooner than later. Don't forget, they got him coming back.
Yep. And, allegedly. Assuming that, you know, Gonsolin and May are going to get more locked in as they get a little more comfortable and
what's
more post-surgery.
Like, does he plan to pitch at all this year?
Yeah, they're saying.
Like, later in the year,
later
right?
in the season, yeah.
So, yeah, they'll be right before the playoffs, get him and Snell going.
Adam was in the chamber. He says, Olson is 4 years younger. That played a big part in the decision. They also had to trade prospects to get Olson. So, yeah, you could have spent the money and just kept Freddie Freeman there and, you know, one of the cornerstones of your franchise. But no, you had to let him go to L.A.
Just felt like maybe he was about to drop off the cliff.
Sure didn't.
He has not hit any cliffs whatsoever so far.
Not even a little.
I mean, I was hoping it as a Padre fan, obviously, when they signed him.
Oh, yeah.
That, he'll be good for a little while, but hopefully by the second or third season, he'll He'll be just a pedestrian first baseman.
Just batting 500 off of right-handers the last 2 weeks. So how'd you like that out of your first base production?
Aaron Judge has been doing that all season long.
Yep.
In fact, his batting average on balls in play is 500.
Oh.
He makes contact. Oh, there's a 50% chance he's getting a hit, and probably it's an extra base hit at some point. That's how good he's been. When the Padres face him, they have kind of shown their hand when it comes to facing stars. Did it with O'Neill Cruz. Weren't going to let O'Neill Cruz beat them. They walked him a bunch this weekend. They were very careful with Kyle Tucker, very careful with opposing stars. And I imagine Aaron Judge is not going to see a ton to hit if the Padres pitchers are executing their game plan over the next 3 days.
Fine by me. Let somebody else beat you in that lineup. Can't let Aaron Judge beat
now,
you.
Now, the Yankees have a deeper lineup than the Pirates do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, you know, Judge could end up scoring some of those runs. O'Neill Cruz never really, those walks never really came back to haunt the Padres.
Well, and again, if you can minimize the guys in front of Judge getting on, you know, that's really where you went. You know, Trent Grisham, can't let Trent Grisham just continue to stay hot and torch the franchise. Like, you know he wants to. He's off to a really, really good start. So, yeah, good for him, but hope he reverts to the Padres' Trent Grisham when we play him this
really
week.
Good pitching matchup tonight. Nick Pivetta on the mound against Carlos Rodon, who's been very good so far for the Yankees this year, but not as good as Pivetta has been for the Padres. Pivetta, of course, I would assume is quite familiar with the mound there at Yankee Stadium after spending so much time in the AL East. So I like having him to start this series for the Padres. But again, Yankee Stadium is a bandbox. I mean, it really is a place where, you know, those deep flies that died in Pittsburgh, that die at Petco Park. Pivetta's, the knock on him with the Red Sox was he was always a good pitcher. Home run ball would beat him. And playing in places like Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium probably contributed to that. So,
well, listen, he is 1-4 with an ERA of 6.99, 58 strikeouts and 13 appearances in the regular season and playoffs against the Yankees in his career. Probably not the most comfortable mound for him to be on, but he has pitched a little bit in relief there, but his starts have not gone well.
I still am happier to have him on the mound than probably Steven Kolek. Going, you know, in his first major league start at Yankee Stadium. I think it's worked out the plan so far for the Padres. And, you know, see, you know, this is a different Nick Pivetta. This isn't the one that, you know, pitched for the Red Sox. He's been a different guy so far for the San Diego Padres.
Hope so.
All right, we'll come back. We still have our Randall report. Want to talk about the basketball playoffs over the weekend as well as we now fully into the second round of the NBA playoffs. That is all coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, May is here. We're getting closer to summer, but you still have May gray and June gloom, which are great months to lose the pounds in time for the July fry and the August, you know, bathing suit and t-shirt and flip-flop season. You can lose a lot of weight with SDFatLoss.com in a very minimal amount of time. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days, and they say that's pretty typical. Most clients lose 20 to 30 pounds in about a month or two, up to a pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. SDFatLoss.com, a doctor-developed, easy-to-follow plan. Lose weight fast, naturally, and safely. No drugs, no injections, and I love this part, no bars or shakes to buy. They kind of, you know, were gross when I did those plans. I like eating just regular food, real stuff, chicken and steak and vegetables. Help me stick with the program and really help me with the maintenance plan once I was done, because you're not just jumping right off the wagon and going back into real food. It's so much better for maintenance. That really, I think, is the secret with SDFatLoss.com. Program costs half as much, works twice as fast as most other programs, and right now, you can get $200 off. The spring special still happening here in the month of May. So go to SDFatLoss.com now and schedule your free consultation right now at SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary. Looking at Trent Grisham's numbers, yeah, it's off to a really good start. 296 average, 8 homers, 15 RBI, 979 OPS. He's hit safely 6 of his last 7 games. Man, all right. Hey, good for Trent.
Yeah.
I mean, he always kind of has had it in him, but I don't know, just never quite put it all together. Other than the postseason.
Yeah.
Series or two when he got hot, he just never seemed to, you know, make contact.
Boy, when he hit it, when he
consistently
would put,
enough.
When he would put that swing on it though, that A swing, Ben, And when he hit it, you're like, that's way out. I mean, beautiful looking swing from Trent Grisham. Problem was, he would end up staring at those fastballs down the middle, and it would just make you insane. Always played with the glove. You know, the glove was always solid. But man, yeah, I you can't let Trent Grisham go in there and beat you in Yankee Stadium. You can, but I hope you don't.
But you can't let Aaron Judge beat you either.
Correct.
And you can't just pitch around everybody.
What's the rest of their lineup look like?
Let's see. With
Austin Wells.
Volpe perhaps out. He's day-to-day right now.
Oh, you got Goldschmidt, too.
Yeah, he's off to a decent start
as well. Ben Rice is swinging the bat pretty well from Cody Bellinger. I mean, a lot of guys that you've seen in the NL West for many, many years that are now part of the New York Yankees. Yeah, he said Volpe hopes to return to the lineup Monday, 2 days after getting hurt. So, yeah, he's day-to-day right now. Yeah, going to be an interesting one. Again, that's all that the season is, Benny. It's just litmus test after litmus test. You know, you played really well against the Pirates. Great. You're supposed to. Supposed to win those games. Now, how do you do in the Bronx?
We still have no official word on Jackson Merrill's return, although Dennis Lynn did tell us expected to either be in New York or on his way to New York. My guess is he probably flew in after the Missions game last night and met them there. So I would think he would be activated before game one of the series, but that has not been officially announced by the Padres yet. Speaking of game ones, got a couple of them tonight in the NBA. Knicks Celtics game one, which is really the only big market teams left after the Lakers were knocked out, the Clippers were knocked out over the weekend. You've got kind of a lot of stars left. I mean, you know, Steph Curry won game 7 last night over the Rockets. Really good defensive performance by the Warriors, holding Houston just 87 points. Buddy Hield was hot. Steph Curry wasn't until the fourth quarter, then he was. But they'll take on the Timberwolves, you know, and Timberwolves are probably favored in that series. So I think the nightmare for the NBA would be like an Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Indiana, and then Boston Final Four. You got really small market teams, which is rare in the NBA, but they all have big stars. I mean, with Ant-Man and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Halliburton, plenty of good players left.
It's just the market.
It's just the markets are kind of on the smallish side here in the Final Eight.
You could be looking at a Cleveland-Oklahoma City Finals.
Right?
I mean, that sounds like the nightmare for Adam Silver.
It's been going great, though. The ratings are up.
But Donovan Mitchell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would be a cool series if that's who it was. I just wonder what the numbers would be like.
They've been good so far
for the NBA.
They've been good so far. Ratings have been way up for the NBA playoffs. They're playing a little bit different brand of basketball in the NBA playoffs right now too. A little more
no
physical.
No fouls called.
No fouls called. They're kind of letting the kids play out there. It's been interesting. But Knicks Celtics is pretty juicy.
That's one's interesting. Knicks fans say they're going to get bodied.
Really?
I mean, they were surprised they won the first series, and now they think they're going to absolutely get smoked by the Celtics, but we'll see.
What does Dak Prescott think? Because as I was, I forgot to mention this morning.
And my son was really bummed. Obviously, Clippers just got absolutely, I mean, they lost by 19. It wasn't even nearly that close in game 7 on Saturday. The Nuggets are a weird story. Remember, they fired their coach like 4 days before the end of the season, and here they are now, you know, two series away from the NBA Finals again, still with, you know, Jokic on the team and Murray. I mean, they're a good team. They'll take on the Thunder, though. I think most people think the Thunder are going to roll in that series.
And the Thunder roll.
Yeah, they did. They did
the
first round.
And the Lightning strikes. It's old Garth Brooks jam.
Although, I think the most popular draw this weekend in basketball was Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Who sold out a WNBA preseason game back in Iowa. They went on the road to her old college town.
She hit about a 70-footer, too, from beyond the... What's the arc? How many feet?
28.
For women, I know it's 23, I think. Yeah.
About 45 feet, looked like she drained.
They have
it.
A little sticker on the floor. This is 22 Clark, where she hit the record breaker.
Set the all-time points record.
And she was about 10 feet behind that.
It was unbelievable. No, I was driving in this morning. Oh, no, I wasn't driving in. I walked into the studio this morning. And Maggie and Perloff were talking about, well, guess what? Obviously, today, on Monday.
Monday. The 5th.
It was not Dodgers Braves. Yep. It was about 5. It was LeBron. LeBron James.
I heard some of that conversation.
The eliminated Los Angeles Lakers. It was LeBron v. Steph. Okay. So I went, oh, man, come on. So go to the bathroom, come back in, and the next conversation was about the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm not even kidding. It was Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons. And I'm like, this is the formula. This is all you have to do. How easy it would be to be a national radio host. Cowboys, LeBron, legacy, Tom Brady, mix him in there.
You're not even coming up with new LeBron dialogue.
Their new twist was, who's been the better player post 35, Steph or LeBron? It's like, you can't even compare them. LeBron's 3.5 years older than Steph. Call me in 3 years and tell me who's had the better post 35 career.
Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
It was a tough
thing. You know, I don't even want to talk about it. I want to get to our Rondo report.
I bet you don't.
Paulie's got some headlines for us in our final segment coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play to 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
7 Mile Casino is our place to play. So the first thing that draws you to 7 Mile Casino is the proximity.
Yes.
There are other card rooms in San Diego. Most of them require about a 45 to 55-minute drive to East County and back. So that's an hour and 40 minutes that you could be playing, but instead you're in your car. Whereas at 7 Mile Casino, you're there in 7 minutes from downtown. It's like 14 minutes, so that's an extra, I don't know, hour and a half that you get to sit at the tables and enjoy yourself.
Man, I like things convenient. I really do. And 7 Mile is just a really convenient place. Not only is it so close when you walk in, it's all right there. You don't have to walk miles and miles to get to the table that you want to play at or anything like that. Smoke-free environment as well. They got great food, friendly dealers, beautiful view outside on the look overlooking the bay. You got a great bar area as well. So, guys, check it out. If you haven't done it for yourself yet, make the very short trip down to 7 Mile Casino, no matter where you are. I mean,
absolutely.
If you're here, it's like 12 minutes. It's not that far.
High limit action, everything you're looking for in a card room and more. It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Thanks to Boomer for getting us caught up on the Kentucky Derby. Haven't really talked about the race. I didn't actually watch it. It was rainy, muddy. Journalism, who was the favorite, could not muster a rally at the end to defeat sovereignty.
I put $10 on Owens Delight, who was the number one long shot, and that's my nephew's name. I figured, wow, I'm going to Texas to see him play in a tournament. So, you know, put $10, would have won $900, I think. Easy bet. But
there's absolutely no rationale as to why that would help the horse win the race.
No, none whatsoever. But, you know, if you see a horse with your kid's name or something that jogs something in you, I always do that. But
see, because so many people do that, if I ever owned a racehorse, I would want to name it something really unappealing so people wouldn't bet on it. So then when I bet on it, it would win a lot more money.
Can you
money.
Bet on your own racehorse? I'm
absolutely.
Sure you can. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess
absolutely.
That's why you probably have a race.
I think that's part of the point.
Yeah, so, you know, you make the name sound, you know, like slow as molasses. But it's really a great horse. But, you know, it keeps the, you know, it's paramutual. So the odds are based totally on how many people bet on your horse versus the other horses. So if you could dissuade more people from betting on your horse, it would increase your payout. So the slower sounding names, you would theoretically would give you better paybacks.
Crippled Nag is the name of my horse. No, I don't. I'm not.
Glue Factory.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Jeez. Good Lord, Ben.
And they're all the horse names have to be registered. There's like a whole like database, so they all have to be different and unique.
Crumb Creep would be a good,
that would be
that
good.
Would be a
oh,
really
be a great name.
Crumb Creep, my horse. Glue Factory, by the
You're
way.
A crumb creep.
Loose Cannabis. Oh, also
Hot Beef.
Hot
Loose
beef.
Cannabis. Hot Beef.
Hot Beef is a great horse.
Especially for the announcer coming down the stretch. There
Who
was
farted?
A, yeah.
was
there
was a horse
a,
name.
It was Hoof
Hearted.
Who farted?
They did that on purpose.
Yes.
Hoof Hearted.
Hearted.
Hoof Hearted.
That's so old. That's such an old
that
clip.
That is an old one.
Hoof Hearted. All right, Paulie.
Who
right.
farted?
Last check of traffic, and then Paulie's rider report next here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition
oh,
of
boy.
The Rindel Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindel Report with Paul Rindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood?
I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. Happy Monday, gentlemen.
Happy Monday, Paulie.
Let's see where to start today. How about a little foosball? In college football, got an update to a story that we talked about quite a bit a while ago now. The Connor Stallions Advanced Scouting Scandal, say that five times fast, with Michigan football.
Yep.
We do have an update. Sharon Moore, the head coach for the University of Michigan, he is going to be suspended for 2 games as part of the self-imposed sanctions by the school.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't even the coach at the time.
No.
He was just the coordinator.
Somebody's got to take
Jim
the
Harbaugh
fall.
Was the coach.
You can't punish him.
He skated.
He's in the NFL now. So the suspensions are actually going to be in week 3 and 4 of this upcoming year. That's going to be week 3 against Central Michigan and week 4 against Nebraska.
Okay.
He will be there for their first 2 games. Now, probably could have taken a suspension for the first one against New Mexico.
Yep.
But then they have a very high-profile non-conference game in week 2 against Oklahoma.
His alma mater.
You can't suspend
someone for weeks 1 and 3.
Yeah, 1 and 3.
Two-game suspension.
Right.
This is low-key huge diss on Nebraska, by the way.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'll serve that one. It's like my 7-year-old asked me last night.
Central Michigan and Nebraska. Y'all agreed with that.
I'll do that one. Yeah. My 7-year-old asked me last night. I tucked him in. He gets the Sunday scaries pretty bad. Pretty bad. He likes the weekend. He's 7 years old. We all do. Tuck him in, go cuddle with him for a bit. He goes, Dad, why do we work 5 days, go to school 5 days, and only have 2 days off? I go, I don't know, because some moron decided that's the way that it should be. He goes, we should have at least 3 days off. He goes, how about this? School Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you get Thursday off, then you go back Friday. And I go, no, you don't want one in the middle. I go, Bo, you don't want to take a day off and then have to go back for 1 day and then you have 2 days off. I go, just 3 at the end. All day Friday. He goes, well, because Sunday's not even really a weekend day because you got to go to school the next day. I go, buddy, you're way ahead of the game here. But when your 7-year-old's complaining about going to school, I'm in for a really long, long scene with this if he already hates school and wants an extra day off, like father, like son. But I don't know who came up with that brilliant idea of,
well, the brilliant idea was shortening the 6-day work week to 5 days at some point.
All right, I guess we shouldn't complain then.
Yeah, let's keep it the way we got it.
Let's just shut our pie holes.
You used to get Sunday off as your day of rest, and then you went right back to it Monday through Saturday.
Forget it.
And then they decided, you know what would be nice? How about a second day off? And then we'll call it the weekend.
The weekend. I couldn't. How bad would it suck to get...
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
How bad would it suck to get Thursday off every week and you have to come back on Friday? Forget it.
Never.
No. He just hates Thursdays.
You know, everybody can work from home, I guess, on Friday. But yeah.
Now, there has been some moves for companies in recent years who've toyed with the idea of doing like 10-hour work days Monday through Thursday. So you get your 40 hours in and then have 3 days off Friday, Saturday,
or like
Sunday.
This one where you don't have to come to work Monday or Friday if you're in sales or whatever.
My wife works 9-hour days and then gets every other Monday off.
Well, let's see. There you go.
Yeah. I take it.
Yeah.
I mean, we work 4 hours, technically.
You're going to play that?
We work a lot more than four
you know what I'm saying, but technically. All right, I'll shut up.
All right. And then, that's your college football update. All right. Major League Baseball, we haven't gotten to this one yet. The Texas Rangers made a move.
Here in Dallas, they did.
Here in Dallas. They fired, now, not the hitting coach, but their offensive coordinator.
Hitting coach, yeah.
Donnie Ecker was fired. They have struggled offensively. Now, the announcement came after they won 8-1 yesterday with the Mariners, which always makes me laugh. You're like, wait, they fired the hitting coach and they just won 8-1. But even with that 8-1 win, the Rangers are a game under 500. They're last in the American League with 113 runs scored.
Wow.
So
man.
They just have not been getting guys across the plate. It says here on ESPN, before their win over the Mariners, the Rangers had only scored 30 runs during a 2-9 stretch.
That's tough, dude.
And it just wasn't going well. Man. So Chris Young, president of baseball operations for the Rangers, they decided to go in a different direction.
They said he's the word that I saw in the article I read was impatient. Like his patience is worn thin at this point. And
Chris Young,
yeah. And you know, listen, when you had some success like they did, they've They've spent some money, too. Don't forget. They have spent a lot of money.
The Texas Rangers.
Yes, there they are. They've spent a lot of money. Is that enough time? Like, is this the time when you go, these guys are going to figure it out? Because you certainly wouldn't do it to a player. You wouldn't cut Corey Seager because he got off to it, and it's right. May 4th or whatever, May 5th. You're not going to send a player down or whatever, one of your regulars, or bench him or anything like that. Scapegoat? Always an easy scapegoat?
I mean, you know, sometimes you do feel like you need a different voice or a change.
Sure.
I doubt that this was a Bruce Bochy call, though, because this is reportedly in, I believe, his 28th year as manager. He has never fired one of his coaches in a season. Not even like at the end of the year. So to do so in May, after 28 years of going, once we got our coaching staff in place, I'm not making changes.
Wow. Yeah, you need continuity,
That's a pretty remarkable step that they took.
Boch wasn't actually even, in the article I read, he wasn't even really mentioned. It was a Chris Young decision.
Right.
So I think he's calling the shots there in Texas. And again, I know nothing. What's the guy's name? Donnie Eckert. I know nothing about him. Nothing whatsoever where I could say, oh, well, clearly, you know, what he's doing is right. I have no earthly idea other than
just look at the results.
It's a very quick, it's quick. You know, there's still plenty of time for the Texas Rangers, especially in a very weak AL, to turn it around. But yeah,
I guess,
man,
that gives me some comfort if I'm a Rangers fan, I guess. I mean, you got to trust in their decision making, but rather than just let it go all year long,
that's the thing.
They're hey, we're not kicking away, we're not punting this season yet. Yet,
I saw
gonna be sellers.
I don't know. To me, a coaching change is usually signs we're grasping at straws.
Potentially,
they don't really have an answer. They just nothing else is working, so let's try this, a different voice.
I mean, unless the guy got drunk and tore up the locker room or something, he's not fired for cause,
right?
You know, and I don't know, man. Again, there's plenty of time for them to figure out their offensive struggles. I did see the fan base I saw that was most mad about it was the Houston Astros. I saw a lot of Astros fans like, oh, nice. Like, look, this is what a team that's trying to win does. You see that, and you want to be them because the Astros are struggling as well. They just dropped a series to the White Sox. Like, that's inexcusable. So, you know, Texas Rangers, I guess you can look at it both ways. One scapegoating or the other way of, no, we're going to take care of business and try to turn this thing around.
The Texas Rangers.
Yeah. Here in Dallas.
All right. And then finally got an update to something that we talked about quite a bit last year. And sometimes things just work out very well. Because earlier this morning in our 8 o'clock hour, we were talking about Ben and how he just lives without a phone case anymore.
Just on the edge.
Just dangerous. And we said you just raw dog it.
Yeah, you raw dog it.
No protection, case.
Without the case.
Yep.
Yep. So we talked about it. It was one of the biggest viral terms of 2024, raw dogging flights, where you sit, and if you're lucky enough to have the plane with the screen in front of you, you could watch yourself on the map and watch the plane, but you're not watching anything else.
I love that
map.
Listening
to music.
Just raw dogging.
Not reading.
I love that map.
I'm curious if you guys have heard about the sequel to raw dogging, barebacking. You guys heard of this?
Well, I've heard it in rodeo context. Whereas
You
have the riders who ride with saddles,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the riders who ride bareback, which is much more difficult because there's no stirrup or reins. You just have to hold on to the horse, which is trying to, like, buck you off while you ride bareback.
Right. I'm reading here.
I heard about it in a different context that's not rodeo riding. The old bareback.
I believe that rodeo is the proper context.
We're talking about viral terms here and how it pertains to
Paulie, how
technology.
How are you referring
this
to
this isn't
it?
Me. This is actually from Fortune magazine. They were talking about there was this TikTok that's gone viral, and they were talking about barebacking trains or subways, which is where you are commuting to work without preoccupying yourself with literally anything. No phone. No video game, no Switch, nothing.
Okay.
Not even a book or a newspaper or a magazine. You are just sitting on the train or the subway and just staring.
Can I look out the window?
Yeah,
look out the window. I love looking out the window.
You can look out the window. You can look at other people on the cart with you.
I rarely.
Book, no magazine, no newspaper,
no phone.
Isn't that
the same thing?
I don't train much, but when I do, I probably spend most of the time just looking out the window as I go.
Raw dogging on the plane, you at least have the screen in front of you. You can watch the map. This is nothing. And they're calling it
I feel like
bareback.
Because I used to commute like that when I lived in Chicago. We were, I was always on the L. I feel like I raw dogged it most of the time. Or, barebacked it.
People watching is always interesting on trains.
Most of the time you're standing. You're holding onto the pole. Usually the pole. And you're, you know, kind of bobbing back and forth. You're just trying to, like,
not fall
down and look like an idiot. But I feel like I usually had a Walkman on at the time.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't do that. Nope.
I'm not someone who listens to music or AirPods much anyway.
Yeah.
And I can't read on a train.
No.
Because I get car sick or train sick.
I used to try to read the Chicago Sun-Times, and you sit
and you're like,
I'm taking up a tremendous amount of room.
I really have to look outside to keep from getting motion sickness. So I pretty much just stare out the window when I'm a passenger in anything.
So one could say then you are a fan of bareback.
That's what I do. I stare out the window.
I think, yeah.
Watch the scenery go by.
Yep. Barebacking.
Elisa gets motion sickness too. How are you in cars?
Fine.
Car sick? You don't?
No.
I get car sick if I'm driving. I'm fine.
Yeah, no, I don't get.
But anything else, I cannot. I have to look out the window. I cannot look down. I cannot sit in the back. I definitely still get motion sickness.
I used to lie when I was a kid that if I ever sat in the back seat, I would get sick.
So you could
sit
in the front.
I always could get the front seat.
Yeah,
but you didn't really.
No,
I can read. I can watch movies, whatever. My kids get sick in the back. Look up so you don't vomit all over yourself in the car and on your iPad or whatever if we're on a long trip.
Ugh, I hate that feeling. I hate the motion sickness.
Nausea.
Feeling. Yeah.
Do you get sick on planes?
No, I don't have trouble on planes.
You would have on the flight to Austin the other day.
A little turbulence?
Not little. There was nothing little about it.
A lot of turbulence.
They warned us we're going to hit turbulence. Oh. And we said, okay, a couple bumps. This was like a roller coaster, dude, to where I reached over the aisle for my wife's hand. That's how bad it was. We went, and I looked at her, and she looked at me. We look over at Taylor, my four-year-old. He's smiling from ear to ear like a lunatic.
Did you have both kids on one side?
No, we had one on each. Taylor, two, and it was two.
So you both had an aisle, and they were in the middle seat.
No, it was two and two.
Oh, it was just two and two the whole way.
It was a little plane.
Oh, okay.
Like a regional jet.
Ah.
And it was
dicey. When you go with your kids, and it's a three and three, how do you do it? Three and one or two and two?
One of us will take the kids.
Both three on one aisle, and then one person gets to sit on their own with...
Yeah, usually. We had the back row. We had two in the back row and one on 10, so Bo and I sat in the back and let the wife and kid, the other kid, sit up front.
That's terrifying.
It was really scary.
I just watched Almost Famous over the weekend.
Yeah.
And that final scene where they all think the plane's going down, it like gave me anxiety to watch it again.
It was pretty... It's as bad a turbulence I've ever experienced in my whole life, and it was not pleasant. Super excited to fly across.
I don't think
country.
This was the private jet this time.
No private jet.
No.
This was Alaskan Airlines. A lot of fun.
To Texas.
Yes.
All right. Special guest tomorrow. Jim Lampley's coming in the studio. He's got a new book out. One of the greats.
Huge.
Of sports casting.
He's coming in.
He's coming in. Yeah.
Love it.
Until then, though, Braden's up next for Paulie, for Woods. I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long.